SBS music station is coming.
SBS Pop Euro.
Filled with Eurovision hits non-stop.
You want more?
Tune in from the 1st of May
on DAB Radio, online,
the SBS audio app
and SBS On Demand.
You're listening to SBS News.
A new report shows a major rise in the number of young Australians worried about the country's preparedness in the face of crisis. Tim Wilford, who directed the research for ANU's National Security College, spoke with SBS News about what the results reveal about the concerns of voters.
We learned early on in November of 2024 that generally people think of military issues, intelligence, to some extent terrorism, but also just a broad abstract notion of protecting the nation when they think of national security. One other question we asked was how worried Australians are about national security, and what has been fascinating to see over the 15 months or so between the different survey waves is that there's been a significant increase in worry about national security. And so that's across the board. So to begin with, we found that 42% of Australians were worried about national security in November of 2024. And then fast forward to February of this year, and that number shot right up to 64% of Australians being worried about national security. But I think to add to that, what's been most surprising is that in November of 2024, what we found were that the younger cohorts of Australians were least worried about national security. And between then and February of this year, when we did our latest survey wave, that concern has increased dramatically. So, for example, the 18 to 24-year-old age group in November of 2024, 22% of them were worried about national security. And this year in February, 55% of 18 to 24-year-olds report being worried about national security, a massive increase.
What's going on, do you think?
Quite a few things happening. So, you know, it wouldn't be a surprise to anyone to say that many changes are happening in the world and in Australia's strategic environment. But also on top of that, and we've heard a lot about this through our focus groups, that there's not a very clear sense of how people get information, how they can consume trusted information. People are very aware that the information environment is polluted. Now, they certainly wouldn't use those technical terms, but that is one of the key findings that we've pulled out of not only our focus groups, but the hundreds of conversations we've had around the nation. So I think, you know, combining with the uncertainty, you know, people's sense of danger and, you know, international upheaval, I think it would be fair to say, coupled with a polluted information environment and people's declining trust more broadly, I think they're the perfect ingredients for, you know, a broad increasing sense of worry about national security.
There was a trauma specialist my colleague spoke with the other day as part of a sort of adjacent feature, and she mentioned something similar. It's how we're accessing information and the quality of it, but also the curation. So in algorithms, you're rewarded by extremes, you're rewarded by a point of view, et cetera. Do you think that there's a piece in this, or was it something that your team started to understand about the tone of information being disseminated? Was it anything like that?
Specifically toward the information and information sharing, we heard from Australians in our survey work that 53% of them don't think the Australian government shares enough information about the security threats that we're experiencing. So to some extent, that's a bit of a signal that there is a desire to hear more and to know more. But having said that, 43% of Australians, they responded neutrally to that question. And when we dug into that in a bit more detail in our focus groups, we found three key perspectives. So, you know, one of the largest ones were the cohort of people that saw information as fundamental to democracy. The second were the people who felt more information certainly would risk widespread panic and potentially hysteria. And those people in particular did have high levels of trust and thought that, you know, the agencies that were tasked with protecting us all were seen as quite credible and mission focused. So The third group, or the third perspective that really came to the fore in the focus groups were a group of people, and this appeared to be a smaller cohort, but nevertheless, those that felt a deep sense of distrust toward institutions and political actors more broadly. Often they describe information sharing or the use of information as a tool, and in some cases described as a weapon. But I think when you consider those perspectives, coupled with, you know, intense and frequent changes in how we receive and consume information, I think it all sort of switches together to form a bit of a picture with regards to people potentially feeling overwhelmed. The final thing I'll say on this is that we also were able to gather information on people's sense of agency in this space. And I think that is another really important part of this question about more or less information and what people both need and might want from governments and also other security actors. So when it comes to agency, we found that in the main, older Australians felt that they certainly had a responsibility, a civic responsibility, it was often described as, with regards to security and safety of Australia more broadly. Others talked about volunteering and community groups that they're part of. But when we talked to younger cohorts of Australians, and this wasn't always the case, but it was certainly dominant in our focus groups, there was frequently a sense of disengagement that was described. But what's interesting is it was described as a coping mechanism rather than apathy itself. And this is certainly not something that is just new to our research. Sora Park and her team at the Canberra University have certainly uncovered this in their digital news report. But it is interesting to see that this connects very strongly with some of those insights that we already know about.
What would you like to happen now? Which agencies or entities would you like to see look at this information?
So I think this is as much a cultural issue as it is a policy issue. And by that I mean what we found is that people, Australians I should say, in the main don't connect too strongly with this abstract notion of national security. And so almost counterintuitively, what we found when we were talking to people both on the road and in our focus groups was that they saw security as ultimately being about the continuity of everyday life. And what's more, when it comes to security and historically how national security had been delivered, it's been certainly something that has been Canberra-centric and managed by a relatively small group of experts. Interestingly, what we've found is that people in the broader Australian community, they certainly have a sense of resilience, and they also, through other parts of our research, we've seen that they have a good sense of the different risks that they're facing. But what they've described as lacking and missing, I guess, from that resilience and spirit is what they described as resilience and capability. And specifically, I think people put their finger on a range of different things. So everything from physical infrastructure to some of those more informational and digital vulnerabilities that we talked about earlier, but also things like social infrastructure, being able to call your neighbours when something is up or there's a crisis. Being able to know the people on your street, something that we came across regularly in many conversations right across Australia, both in regional and rural communities, metropolitan centres, was that people felt they could stand together when times got tough, but lacked a broader sense of the strategic why or how these things all knitted together at a national level. So I think when it comes to forward-looking opportunities or solutions, I think it is a question of, in part, about nation building and the coordination and communication that's required, but also to some extent nation binding, in that what we've been told Australians are after is a bigger picture about how these issues, a bigger picture about how these issues stitch together, and also the ways in which we are preparing for these crises as a country.
Our Our Medicine returns for a powerful new season.
Our role is being there on someone's worst day. It can also be a really tough place to work.
Step onto the front line with First Nations medical practitioners.
You had a fall, did you?
With unprecedented access.
You can't control what's going to happen next.
The series reveals how modern medicine and cultural knowledge work together to deliver better care.
That's a pretty beautiful thing to be part of.
Our Medicine. Stream now on SBS On Demand.